We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. We have many guests today. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourselves to the people around you this morning. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with a spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Sue Andrews, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. LCUUC is a welcoming congregation. That means that each and every one of us is welcome here. Whatever your heritage, whatever traditions you honor, whomever you love, however you identify, you are welcome here. Please join us after the service and after the tobacco offering in our social hall for some coffee, tea, or juice and conversation. Like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook and check out our website, lcuuc.org, in order to find out all sorts of good information and news about events. Please take a moment to make sure that your communicators are muted. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are delighted that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us this morning. One of the ways that we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, you can either bring them forward or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to come forward for a wonderful treat because Beverly Little Thunder is going to tell you the story of Turtle.
Down on a blanket. It's great to see all you children here. You know that everything that we adults do is for you, so that the world that you grow up into is a better place than we came into it. We always leave things better than we found them. And that's why we do some of the things that we do. I want to talk to you a little bit about the turtle. The turtle is really, really important in the Lakota tradition, and it's medicine that generally is associated with women. And I have a book that has some pictures of turtles in it. And there's all different kinds of turtles. You have red sliders, you have box turtles. The one thing they all have in common is they have a shell. And a long time ago, there was a big flood, and all of the land was covered with water. And it said that at that time, the only creature that could go in the water and come back up for air was the turtle. And so the turtle saw that human beings were struggling because they didn't have a place to make their home, because human beings can't live in water, not their whole life. It's fun to be in water to play in and swim in, but you can't sleep in the water. You can't eat in the water all the time. So the turtle, being kind and being as generous as she was, dove all the way to the bottom of that water. And she scooped up large amounts of earth, and she swam up, and she deposited the earth. And she did that many, many times. And what she did was she built like a big mound of earth. And so that the human beings had a place to make their homes and to live. And so our belief is that the turtle was responsible for saving our people that way. When a young girl became a teenager, she was given a turtle shell. Because 300 years ago, they didn't have calendars. You couldn't look at a calendar and say, this is Monday, this is Tuesday, this is the 1st, or this is the 15th. And so the way that she kept track of the month was she would take the turtle shell, and these little squares on the back of a turtle, there's 13 of them. And the little squares that go on the side, the little plates, there's 28 of them. And so their calendar year existed of 13 months, and there were 28-day cycles. Now those cycles, and where did they get the number 28? From watching the stars. They were very, very in tune with the astrological signs that were around them. So they would watch the stars and the moon, and they would know when one cycle was complete. And so that was a very important and sacred thing for a girl to have when she got a turtle shell. It was something that she carried with her throughout her whole life. And it also signified that it was the women who carried the home, because a turtle carries its home on its back wherever it goes. You ever seen a turtle go anywhere without a shell? They couldn't. They couldn't do that. Have you seen one? It is. It is its back and its home. So that's the story of turtle in my tradition. And that's why I wear a lot of things that have a turtle on them. And turtle is very, very special to me. And it's really important for us to start taking care of the ocean. Because do you know that the turtles in the ocean are dying? They're disappearing quickly. When turtle goes to lay her eggs, there are people that come and dig up those turtles, dig up the babies, dig up the eggs. And so very, very few turtles. A mother turtle might lay a lot of eggs, but only a couple of them will make it back to the ocean. And a lot of turtles are harmed by fishing boats and by the trash, by the garbage that gets thrown into the ocean. Do you know that there's whole islands out there that are nothing but plastic? And those things kill. They kill the turtles. They kill the ocean. And they're very important to us. So as we grow up, we need to remember to be conscious of that and to take care of things and know that when we throw a piece of trash away, it goes into the trash can, it goes into the landfill, but a lot of it gets sent into the ocean also. So that's important. I want to share a song with you, but I'm going to need you to help me. And I'm going to need David to help me because he's going to do the drumming. And it's called the Bigfoot Happy Song. And it comes from a tribe in California called the Chumash people. And it was a song that was sang to children, and children learned it to keep them from being afraid at nighttime. How many of you know what Bigfoot is? Mm-hmm. Would you be afraid if Bigfoot walked in?
No.
No? I wouldn't either. Well, Bigfoot is believed to be a not just one being, a whole tribe of people that went underground when they saw what was happening on the earth. And every now and then, they come out to see if things have gotten any better. And unfortunately, I don't think things have gotten any better. But this song was a song that was sang to the children, and the children were encouraged to sing it with them. And I'm going to start singing it very slowly. I want you to listen closely to the words so that you can start singing with me. Can you do that? Okay. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Think you can do that? The adults, I think the words are in your program, so if you can sing it with us, that would be great. Well, what's going to happen is we're going to sing it very slowly, and it's going to start getting faster. And it's going to get faster. And it's going to get really fast. Let's see how many of you are still hanging in there without laughing by the time we finish. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey, ya-hee-hey-hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey. Ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum, ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum. Ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum. Ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum. Ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum. Ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho hum. Ya he hey hey, ya he hey hey, ya ya hey ho
hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-hee-hey-ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-hey-ya-hee-hey-ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Ya-hee-hey-ya-hee-hey-ya-ya-hey-ho-hum. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's good. Tunkashila, great mystery. I give thanks for our lives, for this day, for each person who sits in this building, who comes here to open their hearts to spirit in whichever way that they believe. I give thanks, Tunkashila, for this day, for the sun, for the gentle wind. I give thanks for this land, and the privilege and honor of being able to sit here and to share. I give thanks, Tunkashila, for all things that I did for us. And I remember those, Tunkashila, that are without, those who don't have clean water, those who don't have food, those who don't even have shelter or a place to lay their heads. I pray, Tunkashila, that you give each of us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to step outside of ourselves and to give to others, to care for others, to be selfless people that are a part of the earth, that are a part of the healing of the earth. And I pray, Tunkashila, for those children, for those seven generations that come after us. I pray for those that have gone before us, for our ancestors who have left us with teachings that we need to pass on. And I give thanks, Tunkashila, for the privilege and honor of being able to pray in this way. David is going to offer an honoring song. It's something in our tradition that we do when we go places to honor each of you who are here.
Yeah. Sketchka Ganu Gijiwini Magoon. Translated means, don't you realize that the eagles love us?
Oh, I love him. Whenever I'm asked to speak or to address a group of people, I try to sit down the night before and sort of write a script of what I want to say. And it never quite works. Never quite works because they're my words. And instead, what I usually do is say a prayer and say, Creator, whatever it is that you would have me say, you're going to have to give me the words because I'm a human being and I really can't think as well as you do. Now, some people call God, Jehovah, Buddha, Allah. In our language, we say Tungkashila, and it means the great mystery, because it is a mystery as to how we all got here, how we all managed to survive with the way that we treat the earth. And I could talk to you about the history of my people on this continent. And when I say on this continent, I mean the American continent, which extends all the way to the north, encompasses Canada and all of South America, Central America. The whole continent was the Americas. So all the people are indigenous. You know, and we divided up into Mexicans and Canadians and American Indians. We really, that wasn't the people's choice to do that. But rather than talk about politics and the horrendous things that occurred over the last several hundred years. I think that it's time to talk about how we are all connected. We're all connected. I've often said that most people on this continent have a smidgen of Native blood running through their veins. And it's not my place to say, well, you're not Native, so you can't do this, that you shouldn't be doing this. If it's something that's coming from their heart, it's something that Creator has given to them. None of us know, and if somebody does, I'd like to hear about it, who our great, great grandparents fell in love with and had a child with. None of us know if our grandmothers stepped out and the milkman really was the parent of one of their children. You know, those are not things that they talk about. Those are not things that they brag about. Those are not things that they want their children to know. And that's okay, because what they did, the expression of love they had for another human being, is theirs. But the result of that is that we have all these mixed blood. In another 25 years, we're going to have very few people in the Native community that can say, I'm full-blooded anything. Because even the tribes now, it's very common to intermarry a Lakota with a Navajo with a Ho-Chunk. We all intermarry. And the one thing, as a parent, that I know is I have absolutely no control over who my children fall in love with. I have no control what race my children are going to be. So rather than talk to them about keeping the traditions, keeping the sacred things private, I encourage them to live those traditions. Because in the Native culture, at one time, we don't have religion. We have a way of life. We didn't have 10 commandments. We had values that we lived by. Among those were generosity and compassion and care for the other people in our community, taking care of our elders, listening to our children. Because 7 generations before we all got here, that's what was happening. All of that was passed down to us, and now it's our responsibility to pass it down to the next 7 generations. Everybody sitting in this room today is a teacher. You'll never know when you say something or do something and a child is in the room, what they are going to take away with that. They might be playing, they might have their earphones on, but they hear everything. I know I did as a kid, and I didn't even have earphones. We all want the best for our families. We all want the best for our children. We all want the best for our planet. And right now is the time when we need to step up. We need to live what we want. We need to start paying attention. No, it's past the time of starting to pay attention. We need to pay attention. Our planet is dying. None of us even know what it is to breathe clean air. None of us have pure water. Why? Because of all the chemicals that go into the air. Because of all the trash that gets in our waterways. Even those of us that do organic farming, we have no control over the rain that falls. We don't know what's in the atmosphere and falls on our land. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Because the generations before us, some of them didn't listen. Some of them didn't listen. So we all come together. And we all sit here together, hearing these things and thinking about it. And when we walk out the door, try not to forget it. Try to remember. Remember to do little things. You don't have to do anything big. Just little changes in your life. Try not to use so much power. Try not to let the water run while you're brushing your teeth. Try not to take 20-minute showers, even though they feel good. Try to recycle. Try to remember when you go to the store and you look at packaging. Buy that which has the least amount of packaging, and then try to recycle it. I myself, toilet paper rolls. My daughter thinks I'm crazy because I save them. And then I clip the bottoms and I fold them under, and those are what I start my plants in. Fill them with soil, and when they're ready to transplant, I just put the whole thing in the ground. And as soon as it gets wet, it decomposes, and I have a great garden. I don't like using paper towels or paper napkins. So I go to the thrift stores and I buy used napkins. Sometimes they match and sometimes they don't. But at least I'm not contributing to the pile that might someday land in the landfills. And don't doubt that when things go into the landfills, eventually it finds its way into the fields of our farms and the oceans and those islands of plastic that are out there floating around because of all the plastic that we use. But be aware and try. Try to change something. All of us have one thing in our life that we can change. And all of us know that we're all connected. You know, look at the person sitting next to you. Just look at them. Do they look like you? Do you know how much you have in common with that person sitting next to you? Even if you've never met them before? Do you realize that you're 70% water? We are composed of 70% water. That's an awful lot to have in common with the person sitting next to you. So that means that there's just another 30% that we need to get to know. And we need to begin to know each other. And we need to begin reaching out and talking to those that we encounter. And that's how we're going to change the world. And I have been told that this is the time when the women are going to come together to do that. You know, and men are very important. You have to have that balance. You have to have a balance. But what has happened is that the society has changed to the point where many of our men are taught things that are not healthy. That's why we have so much domestic violence. So many fathers that don't know how to be there for their children. So so many children growing up without a male role model in their lives. And we as women need to start teaching our boys. We need to start talking to them. We need to start nurturing that gentle side of them. We need to stop buying them toy guns to play with, toy soldiers. All of those are propaganda that a larger group is brainwashing us with. And until we address the root cause of where we sit in a world that doesn't have peace in it, it's not going to change. I've never known a war that ended in peace. War does not end in peace. There's always going to be struggle. And I've never known a woman who has given birth to a child and held it in her arms and said, "Oh, my dear son, someday you're going to grow up and you're going to get a gun and you're going to go across the ocean and there's this man over there who's a Muslim and you're going to kill him." And at the same time, there's a mother in Southeast Asia holding a child that was just born, and she's not telling that child, "Oh boy, someday you're going to have a gun and you're going to go over to the Americas and kill somebody." As women, I've never known a mother who had a child and whose dream was that it would grow up and fight and kill. So we have to do something. We have to stop the violence. And it begins with us. It begins with us. I'm sure you've heard the term. We need to be the peace we want to see in the world. And it may seem like it's not happening, but it is. When I came out 30 years ago to my community, the Native community, and said, "I am a lesbian," I was sent away from the ceremony I had done all my life. Today, I know that there are people who go back home and are participating in ceremony as Two-Spirit people. And more tribal members are embracing and supporting the members of the community that are Two-Spirit. It's taken 30 years, but that change has happened. And 30 years ago, I thought it never would. So change is happening even as we sit here. But we have to keep ensuring that it changes. When we have a coming together, we generally do a pipe ceremony. And the sacred pipe is something that is a tool, as each tradition has its tools. Ours was brought by the Buffalo Calf Pipe Woman. As a matter of fact, in the Lakota tradition, most of our ceremonies were brought to us by women. And it involves smoking the sacred pipe, which, if I were to do that and pass it around to all of you, we could be here till 2 or 3. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill it and ask David to smoke with me. After the service, we're going to ask those who want to come out to the sacred fire, which David has set up, and make a tobacco offering. We'll have tobacco there. And what the intent is that you take that tobacco and you put it on the fire along with your intention, with your prayer, with your thoughts of something that you want to see happen. And they say that that's the way that our prayers are carried, to be one with all creation. And so that's what we're planning to do today. So top of that. Thank you.
Is extinguished, but its light lives on in the minds and the hearts and the souls of each one of us. Let us carry this flame with us and share it with those we know, with those we love, and most importantly, with those we have yet to meet.
Okay, we're going to proceed out to the fire. David's going to be out there already with the fire going. And those of you that would like to come out with us, just follow me. I think I know the way.